Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. This is Monica Pearson, and I'm going to take a line from that song. I'm a fool for getting in the car with my guest today, Bobby Orr, stunt driver extraordinaire, holds more records than anybody else for some of the stunts he's actually done. Bobby Orr, thank you so much for coming in today.
Monica, you're most welcome. You're most welcome. I'm not sure about that intro that you just gave there, but yeah, go ahead.
I mean, guys, I got in the car with him, and he literally did like 190. He parked the car at full speed. You've got to tell me, Bobby, how did you get into this business to begin with?
Actually, I fell into it, but I started off racing. That's where a lot of people remember me from, in the different out of the Midwest up to NASCAR. And then did a few local commercials, led one thing to the other, and then went to Hollywood and did like most people. You go out and beg and do whatever you can do to get a chance to do something. And then on Dukes of Hazzard, Paul Baxter was running that show initially, and he's the one who got me my SAG card, even though I didn't do a lot on Dukes of Hazzard. And he just, I got to take the car on tour and do some stuff there with it at the fairs. And they enjoyed the fact that I could do a little driving at the fairs, too, with another car while the general, everybody was getting pictures with the old general. They just, one thing led to another, so I was lucky.
How did you learn to do the synchronized driving and the things that you do?
I stayed at Holiday Inn Express two nights in a row.
Wait a minute. Come on, Bobby.
If you stay there three nights, you can be a brain surgeon. I've seen it on TV. You know? So stunt driving is just one night list.
No. Come on. You go from being a serious NASCAR driver. And folks, if you remember the wide world of sports and the beginning of that show, you remember that race car that was just going head
right
on
after
head?
The guy fell off the ski jump. He uh-huh. comes down and he tumbles, and then they show this car doing some endos and then side over side. That was me. I still remember it. You know, I get a little nervous at times and shaky and pass out. But other than that, it's no problem.
So how did you make the transition seriously?
It started even when I was a kid. I always liked to tinker with cars and get them running. So my dad sort of made me a deal that if I mowed yards, earned some money, buy an old car and get it running, for a little while I could drive it up and down the driveway in this little small town in Oklahoma. And as soon as it was running halfway decent, my dad would sell it until he told me I can start all over again. So I'd find another car, same thing. But it got to the point where I would look at magazines and I'd see old car shows, Model A's that were driving on two wheels and all that, and I wanted to figure out how they did it. So bottom line is I taught myself over the years.
How many cars did you wreck doing that?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you none, would you?
None.
So I like driving on two wheels. When I was a kid, they made me a bag so I could pick cotton with my family. And I thought it was sort of fun to do that initially, and then you put the bag into the big wagon. And so I got the job of not only picking, but then I could get in there and sort and put it into the wagon. But they had these big, solid tires on them. And I thought, well, I wonder if I take that tire and a plank of wood, if I could sort of come in at an angle and bounce and get it on two wheels. And that's the way it started, on two wheels. So I taught myself that. Had to find out about locking a rear and welding the spider gears. So it was all trial and error, but on the two-wheel stuff, when I was teaching myself how to do that, I never crashed a car.
That's amazing. But as soon as you got into NASCAR, you crashed.
I did. It was, it wasn't, yeah.
Well, you know, Bobby has opened up a school here for stunt driving, but it's more than stunt driving. For people who need personal protection and for law enforcement officers, we're going to talk about that coming up in the next break. So stay with us here with Bobby Orr. And I'm also going to be giving away some tickets for Mother's Day extravaganza coming up. So I need you to stay with me here on Kiss 104. Kiss 104, Atlanta's best R&B and throwbacks. We are having so much fun in here. I wish you could almost listen to us during the music. We're now joined by Jeremy Porter, who is the chief executive officer of Atlanta Motorsports Park. And that's where Bobby Orr's school, stunt driving school, is located. So, Jeremy, you know, you've been out there running fast cars, motorcycles, and go-karts in Dawsonville. Why in the world did you want Bobby Orr to come bring his stunt driving school?
I'm questioning that right now. I'm not quite certain. You know, we wanted one of the best in the industry and a guy that's a lot of fun to have around and somebody that really would connect with the movie industry, and it was just an ideal match. So,
well, let's clear one thing up, though. You did finish second getting to the radio station, right?
We did. He is
so competitive. Now, you know, I will admit to you, when I was out there, I got in the car with Bobby, and I'm fine. But what I learned from him, and that's the other thing, how to drive properly. This is not just about stunt driving, but I also know at AMP, you also teach people how to be better drivers. And you created, Bobby, this how to deal with the steering wheel. Most people do 10 and 2. Now you do
8 and 4, and it's shuffle steering, and it's documented. I started teaching shuffle steering 47 years ago. Somewhere in there. And I've yet to find anything that actually works better. There's a lot of people that are against it, mostly because they don't get it or they didn't try hard enough to get it to work right initially. But the reason I can do a lot of things that I do in cars, I never run out of steering, but I also found out I don't need as much steering to get those certain maneuvers to happen.
I have been using that, and I find that, to be honest with you, I drive better. Because my arm doesn't get in the way, and I don't run out of steering wheel.
There you go.
So how did that get started, that it was 10 and 2?
It's if we got time, it's an interesting story. Now, most people, when they go to get their license and they go to driver's ed in high school or whatever, wherever they get it, or mom and pop show them, or their uncle John shows them how to drive, they never ask. You know, as a student, you don't say, well, where'd that come from? The 10 and 2 and the 9 and 3. But long story short, the 10 and 2 was for leverage back in the day. When cars were first made, they didn't have steering wheels. They had tillers. Then as cars were getting popular, and hey, they don't smell as bad as a horse, they said, we can do some more here. So they get these big old steering wheels on a flatbed. It almost looked like a wagon with a little engine on it. They had the wheels are about the same width. The bed of the vehicle is about the same width as a wagon.
But what you're saying is you started in wagons.
I never did like you, Jeremy. I never did.
And let me clear up why I got second place, is I respect my elders, so I just let you get in first.
So back to the steering column.
So anyway, you know, you take it with a grain of salt. You know, he's young. So bottom line was, it kind of started when cars couldn't get popular and people buying them. They would get one of these little things and they'd take it from the big fancy city that may have shell or at least hard dirt on the roads and go to their little town. And those wagons would have left ruts in the road. So you get one of the new vehicles that had a whole 5 to 6 horsepower, and you're trying to get, you know, you get stuck in the rut. You had to have leverage. So you had the big old steering wheel you could reach up and grab and pull your rear end out of the seat to help get it out.
So that was 10 and 2.
Initially. But at the same time, if you look at some of the old pictures, you can see the drivers wearing the same, almost the same garb as cattlemen that used to herd cattle from, you know, Texas up to Kansas and all that. They had the long coats and the hat and, of course, the little mask. Well, if you look at some of the old pictures, you'll see them. They look like, you've seen them in, you know, race car driving. They big goggles and they had turn around backwards. And the cattlemen had those leather tangles things hanging off there. You know what that was for?
No.
A lot of people didn't. They thought it was all cosmetic. But it's actually so when they shot a rabbit or whatever, they could tear one off, tie it around the rabbit, put it on their horse. It was useful stuff. So they didn't have those driving cars, but you did have the jacket and the goggles. And the 10 and 2 faded away later on, a few years later in the 50s, when Dinah Shore came out with See the USA in your Chevrolet. Right? If you were the photographer, it's called a three-quarter shot. So I know they can't see it, but you're looking at the front of the car and down the side of the car. If I'm sitting there happy at 10 and 2, can you see my happy face?
No.
How about 9 and 3?
Yes.
And that's where it came from. So what does that have to do with driving?
Nothing.
other than leverage, we don't need them. We got power steering, air assist steering, electric steering, you name it, we've got it. All you got to do is think it and it almost turn. So if you take all that and find out where it came from and then find out, hey, maybe we steered too much back then. And that's doing a lot of wrecks today is because people oversteer.
That's the reason I like the new system. Well, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk some more to Jeremy and to Bobby. Because, Jeremy, if you've got a car you've always wanted to just let it go, you've got to go to his place. Now, you can actually join as a member, which kind of gives you free reign to drive as much as you want. But we're talking about Formula One cars. We're talking about whatever you've got in your garage, and you want to do on a trot what you can't do anywhere else. Whew, you gotta go do this. I had wanted to try the go-kart, but then I got scared. After riding with Bobby, I got scared.
I can leave anytime.
No.
So, you know, between you and Jeremy, I'm getting it from
well,
scared
if you leave, you may break
but
a hip.
But we're going to talk about that because really, the AMP is also about learning to be a good driver as well as enjoying. If you're a car enthusiast and a speed enthusiast, it is the track to go to. So don't forget, for the most fun and information, listen to the Tom Joyner Morning Show weekdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. And we'll be back in a moment with more of the wonderful Bobby Orr and Mr. Jeremy Porter, where we're going to teach you how to be the best driver you can be. You're listening to KISS 104.